Welcome to the family of the Tom Bernard Podcast with
co-host Catherine Brandt,
Andy Brandt Bernard,
and Tevin Pittman,
and AJ Fredrickson.
See, we got it all covered. There's no question about it.
We do.
Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know?
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw, and Bryant. Doug, how are things going at Burnsville and Coon Rapids Nissan?
Well, we're in first and second place for the year in Minnesota.
That's pretty impressive. What do you think the secret is?
Well, clearly people like overpaid morning DJs that can't throw a first pitch over the plate.
That hurt my feelings on so many levels.
Sorry. Some people actually like these goofy ads, but there's a lot more to it.
I think people really like the one-price, upfront approach. They know they are being treated fairly.
Yep. The free 10-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty doesn't hurt either.
So what's going on this month?
Well, inventory's finally getting better. We've got 75 Rogues and 25 Pathfinders available for delivery this month, and Nissan just came out with 1.9% for 36 months for people with good credit.
The way interest rates are climbing these days, that's pretty darn good, Dougie. With all those Rogues and Pathfinders, free powertrain warranty, and low interest rate financing, no wonder Burnsville and Coon Rapids are setting records.
We're like the Aaron Judge and Roger Maris of Nissan's.
No, you're not. I just looked at the headlines. I went to three different TV channels, look at the headlines. You don't want to know any of them. It's all about filth. So, one thing I did decide, which I'm kind of glad about, is, something did happen since Monday, which I think is really, really cool, but I just realized, this is all about making money, so even to pay attention to any of this stuff, like I said, I've been a Democrat, I've been a Republican, now I'm just kind of a centrist and just want to live my life, and I don't need people bitching at me about their political opinions, all the rest of it. But I did like the fact, AJ, that on Monday, I was asked about something, and I said, oh, what's the difference? They're all doing this document stuff, and you know they're all doing it, right? Remember that on Monday that we said that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was revealed yesterday, of course, that it's not only the two big ones. It's not only President Biden and former. And again, this is not a political statement I'm making. It's just if this show can predict something that's going to happen 12 hours before it happens, that's pretty sad news. But now they've discovered that Mike Pence has secret documents, that Jimmy Carter's administration was taking home secret documents. It's everybody, just like we said on this show. So I would like to pat ourselves on the back here for predicting exactly what the truth was.
Yay, right? Us.
See? We told you on Monday. They're all doing it. It's like, no, his is a lot worse than the other guys. Biden's is worse than Trump's, and Trump's is worse than Biden's. It's like, they're all doing it, and they've always done it. I mean, we're going all the way back, and I like Jimmy Carter. You know, he's probably a bit liberal for me, but nowhere near as liberal as Walter Mondale was, who drove him nuts his whole presidency. But I literally decided that was it for me. The fact that a podcast in Minneapolis can predict what they're doing in Washington. And it's not like we're geniuses. It was pretty easy to figure out.
Got to tell you, it's all pretty predictable.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
If you've got a half a brain, it's all predictable.
So who needs it? Right?
I agree.
Absolutely.
So Pamela Anderson's book?
Yeah.
She wrote a book? I know.
That's kind of cool.
Okay, so now she's all mad because supposedly, I don't know, Tim Allen flashed his penis at her.
Yep.
Sly Stallone offered her a condo and a Porsche because, you know, that's the best she's going to do, and that's just how Hollywood is, according to her in her book. What I have a hard time with these kinds of books and this sort of human being is you're capitalizing on your sexuality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then when people treat you sexually, it's a big
that is true.
It's all harmful. Yeah. I have a real, this is why women drive me crazy. It's like you can't have it all both ways. You just can't.
Right.
You just can't run around capitalizing on gigantic boobs and think that people aren't going to look at them. Right?
Well, didn't she do about...
That's the whole point of, if you don't have the giant boobs out there for everyone to look at, you're not making money. That's what you're selling. So when people look at them and respond the way people respond to that, why is it surprising?
It is. It does definitely feel like attracting a certain type of person to make your notoriety raise and then getting mad at that type of person for paying attention to you.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that people should be flashed or whatever, but to have an offer of, I'll take your... Hey,
Jude. Roof.
You know, I mean, Sly Stallone, I don't know anything about him, if he's a jerk in real life, whatever. I don't have any idea. But for him to offer to keep you in a condo and give you a Porsche, is that like so offensive that you need to call him out on it 35 years later?
I don't think so. He can buy me a Porsche and a condo if you'd like. That's,
boy toy Kevin. No.
Boy toy Kevin.
I mean, and I guess it all depends on like the parameters that, like if he was like, hey, I want to keep you in this condo and we can have sex whenever I want, then that might be a little out there. Like that's one thing. But if it was just like, hey, I want to buy you a condo and a Porsche,
well,
and there's no like string attached.
He didn't kidnap her and throw her in a condo.
So who was it that he did that with?
It was an offer. Pamela Anderson. Can you do that light thing?
With Pamela Anderson?
I guess. Well, she was, you know, the thing for a long time.
Yeah, Baywatch.
Baywatch and whatever else she was
Wasn't she dating, who was she like married to that was like
Tommy
the rock
Lee
and roll
Jones.
Guys?
Tommy Lee Roth. Yep. Tommy Lee something.
Yeah, and they had
his whole name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
His whole name is Tommy Lee there, honey. You can stop trying to find that last name now.
Sorry.
It's like Tony Lee. Same thing. Tony Lee's his whole name. You don't have to make up another one. It's fine. But in any case, yeah, I have a question, and I'm certainly agreeing with you guys. Don't be flashing your wiener to women or men or whomever. Don't be doing that stuff. I never understood it.
Yeah, it's not funny.
But didn't she release like 15 videos where she was playing the trombone with Tommy Lee?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean.
That's the problem. You're giving them bad people bad ideas. Don't do that. I suppose she has the freedom to do whatever she wants, but I just don't understand all that sexual stuff. Sitting there watching her do that with Tommy, they say, why would I want to watch that? What's in it for me? Let
because
me
they're very
way.
Famous, and that's what...
Who cares?
I don't know.
And there's a whole group of people that's like into the voyeurism and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
For everybody.
Absolutely.
I suppose it is true.
You know, it's just like this Prince Harry business. It's like, oh, you poor little rich boy. I feel so sorry for you.
I know.
Oh, your life is so hard.
Okay, I just walked in, so I'm not sure what we're talking about, but like, what is the deal with his book?
He's whining and crying about how he actually said that the only reason why he was born was so that in case his brother, who is heir to the throne, had a physical problem, that he would be like spare parts.
Who came up with that?
Would suck. That would suck if true.
But it's
however,
not true. First of all, that's not how organ donors work, because
you
can't just
steal organs.
Well, you can't. They might not be a match.
That too. You don't know.
You mean spare parts? Like
he
they
literally
take,
meant spare parts. Like they take from. Okay.
See, I took it.
I thought they just meant if his older brother dies, they need to have a backup plan.
Yeah.
That is basically what it would be until the first one had children.
Oh. Okay.
Then he's out of the mix. I don't know why. But
I'd have to imagine there's worse families to be born into.
Right. Yeah. He can cry over it in his palace with his supermodel wife.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing on the internet right now about, there's a part of the book where he's talking about is something happened with his penis, and he's talking
something
about it in the book
to his penis
in great detail. Oh. I don't know.
Who
just
talked
like,
about
does it? Turn like 50 Shades of Grey or what?
No, it's like he was doing something and it he had like a problem with it and he's like talking about it in the book and the audio of him reading it is like all over Instagram and people
Are people calling him brave?
I'm like, you're so brave.
Something happened to his penis. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to Google
know.
It.
I just don't know what it could be. I'm just now I'm curious because I mean,
Prince Harry's penis.
Not that many things happen to a penis. It's usually the same things.
Especially a royal penis.
Yeah. You guys having fun? Are you?
I don't know. And his mom. It was when his mom was alive still. And I'm like, why are you talking about this?
Okay, Andy found some
apparently
sort of
he got frostbite during Prince William's wedding.
That is a hell of a wedding.
How do you get frostbite?
As a child.
Oh, it was a charity trek to the North Pole.
Oh, ish.
Well, still, that thing's tucked in nice and warm.
Yeah, that's that should be like the last
the
part of you to get.
The warmest part of your body.
How pretty much.
The only part of you getting frostbite.
Right.
There's, what about his fingers?
I suspect foul play.
Is he wearing like chaps with a giant hole in the crotch?
Passless chaps.
Yeah. Right.
Crotchless chaps.
Crotchless chaps.
I don't.
So something's missing.
That just doesn't make any sense.
And why is he talking about it? I don't know.
Yeah, I would leave that part out.
Clearly the man has no pride whatsoever. Because whining like
no,
a little...
No, he has none.
Yeah. Being a middle-aged man whining like a little bitch is just not pretty.
Mother.
Sorry.
Listen, I don't know the details about his life and whatever. Well, I mean, it sounds like probably not the best scenario, especially like with his, what happened with his mom and, you know.
And like living in the spotlight from the time you're born, like you definitely have a skewed perception on what I should be talking about. In this
and
world.
Being
and
like, a billionaire,
he's the
just
only
terrible.
Person in the world that's lost his mother.
Oh, I'm not saying that anybody should feel bad for him and his frostbitten penis. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it.
I don't know. I just, all this whining after the fact stuff just, it's an, well, I guess there's always been tell-all books, you know, when people's careers start waning or whatever, or you just need a bunch of attention, all of a sudden you write some sort of a book and blame everybody for everything. But
you'd probably write a great tell-all
book. I would write a great tell-all book, and none of it would be true, and it would be awesome.
I'm over the whole wah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
No question. You know, after that last comment you just made there, we're going to have to, AJ, don't you think we're going to have to find a spot for him over on the Hubbard show when I start in a couple of weeks, a few weeks, I guess it is now. But
I don't see why not.
Wait, are you talking about me?
Yeah, I know lots of Tevins.
Oh, okay. I was making sure we're all on the
no,
same page.
No, other Tevin.
I was just making sure.
Well, you said him. You didn't say
him. You didn't say Tevin.
Prince Harry? Or are you talking
about after he was just talking
about
it. We
were all confused.
Could it be on there?
Talk about his penis?
Absolutely. I'll make my way over to the Hubbard station.
They're doing it here.
Oh, then I'll make my way over here.
Yeah, you can make it over here.
Yeah, I'll stay.
Yeah, Brittany's going to be on it.
Are you guys boycotting M&M's?
What's wrong
chance?
With M&M's now?
No.
Like I'm boycotting M&M's?
It's touche.
What did M&M's do?
Tucker Carlson went off like a huge rant, apparently.
Like
because,
four times in one day?
Because the green M&M is no longer sexy enough for him. They took away her boots and gave her sneakers, and that is completely unacceptable, so he will not be eating M&M's.
Well, actually, they've taken them away completely now. They're gone.
Well, now the sports candies are gone.
The mascots are gone.
Pause. Yep. They're on an indefinite pause.
Okay, Tevin just used the word spokes candy.
Wow.
Okay.
That's what they call it.
Could we get more correct? Tevin has fallen down the rabbit hole.
That's what they're known as. I don't know their names individually.
Your generation grew up with the spokes raisins, so it's, really not that different.
I even had a title for your
segment. The California raisins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar.
I even had a name for your segment. Now I'm going to have to take it back after that. Wait, Info Heaven with Tevin. What do you think?
I like it. Well, we can workshop it a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, we'll workshop it.
It's
absolutely.
Not a bad first draft.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, everybody got very upset because Tucker Carlson, in like one episode, talked about it like four times, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it was that.
It's okay.
And he got mad because like, the Xbox released, like, they're going to now have their updates happen in non-peak, like, energy usage hours to try and be more, eco-friendly.
Oh, okay.
And
so,
he didn't
like overnight.
That either. Yeah. He was like, that's unacceptable, too.
What?
this whole
why does Tucker Carlson care what Xbox does?
It sounds like it was a very slow news day.
Yeah.
There's nothing else going on. So you have to be outraged.
Yeah,
about
you got to find some fake outrage somewhere.
I don't know. Tucker Carlson might be a top Halo player. We don't know.
I was going to say, maybe he's super into whatever Xbox is.
Maybe he's an esports player.
Well, what's funny about that, just before the show started today, I said I have to look at the headlines. So I went to CNN, and then I went to Fox, and then I went to MSNBC, and it turned out I didn't give a rat's ass about any of the three stories they were talking about because they were lying about most of it. But other than that, the news is good.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Well, vitamin D's trending. You didn't mention that.
Well, because of the sun?
I took mine today, every morning.
Because I guess vitamin D is fighting off COVID? I thought we knew this.
Yeah, we've known this for like 2 years.
Why is this new information? Well, remember how for a long time they were like, don't talk about vitamins with COVID?
Yes.
Like, no, you're not supposed to talk about any potential cure.
You just need the vaccine, and that's the only thing that helps. So you couldn't talk about vitamins. And now they're like, well, actually.
Okay, aren't we on the other side of COVID?
Pretty much.
Aren't
no,
we?
Too much money and too much money in it that feel, we'll never get to the other side.
Yeah, but I feel like truly in real life we are on the other side of COVID.
I can't. I don't know someone who's had COVID in a long time.
Oh, really? I have two friends just had COVID. Are they?
Well, I don't know anyone.
Are they very sick? Did they have to go to the hospital? Are they taking
horse warmer? One of them is what pregnant, are they doing? And she was like, it was just kind of like a bad cold, and it was her second time having it.
Okay.
And then the other one, it was kind of like. The first time he had like flu-like symptoms, fever, body aches, all that stuff, and he's had it twice as well.
Okay, but it's just like it's a flu, it's a cold. We're on the other side of it, right?
And the thing I don't understand is like, Dan, 2-3 weeks ago was not feeling well, so he's like, I'm going to take a COVID test. And I was like, why? And he's like, because if it's COVID, then I'm like, are you going to go to the doctor and take a flu test? Are you going to go to the doctor and take an RSV test? Are you going to go to the doctor and take a strep test? You know, like, strep makes sense because you can actually do something for strep. But all these other things, it's like, what does it change?
Right.
Yeah, and you can't take anything for it, so who cares?
Yeah, you're sick. You stay home when you're sick. And then when you're not sick, you can proceed with your life. Right. And, like, why does it matter if it's COVID or not?
Right. I don't know. I don't know why people. I just don't know why people are bothering testing for it anymore.
I know I don't either. Yeah, like one of my friends that was sick, he was like, "I have to go out and get more COVID tests because I have to test until I'm negative and all that." I'm like, "What? What? What?"
But oh, maybe for a job? So. Are they still doing that? Oh, for a doctor. Okay.
Yeah. No. His work had him that he couldn't come back for 7 days.
Wow, that's still a thing, too? I thought that was done. Like, I guess. It was like 2 days. Just text us when you want to come back.
I don't know. And I was exposed to it from him. And I...
Devin's like, yay. Sit right next to you here.
No, that was a week ago.
Yeah. Oh.
That was a week. I'm in the clear now. Okay. But yeah, I didn't catch it, so I don't know.
I just feel like we're done with it. We shouldn't even be talking about vitamin D or anything anymore.
Again, there's too much money involved. They're never going to stop talking about it. There's billions of dollars being made for that crap, and they're never going to stop pushing it down your throat.
Nope.
It's never going to end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it still feels... Because, I mean, you go 2 years of your life with the media constantly telling you that you're going to die from this thing and it's going to kill everybody.
Right.
Yeah. It still feels, like, heavy a little bit. Because when my friend told me, like, oh, we were at ballet class on Tuesday and I started getting COVID symptoms Tuesday night... Then I was like, oh, I might have COVID. So I didn't go to a birthday party in Fargo that I was supposed to go to because I was like, well, I don't want to give everybody COVID if I end up getting it or whatever. And so it still feels...
But isn't that the way it is with all flus? And
I'd rather have the COVID than the flu. The flu sounds horrible.
The flu is terrible. But I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I just think that if you're exposed to something, you probably should stay home.
Yeah,
might be a good idea.
No matter what it is, I mean, nobody wants your cold. Nobody wants your flu. Nobody wants
germs.
But the whole thing, with like, I was exposed to whatever. Like, there's no other sickness that I can think of that I would be like, you know, if you were like, oh, I have a really bad cold now, and I was in the studio, I wouldn't cancel my plans because I was like, oh, I was sitting next to Tevin, and now he has a really bad cold. You know.
Yeah.
But like COVID, it's like, oh, I can't be around anybody for 4 days. Still, which is weird, but I don't know.
Remember my favorite phone call I got when I was on the queue from a woman about COVID? I told this story a long time ago. It's probably a couple of years ago or a year and a half. Something. Mm-hmm. But this woman called into the morning show and was pretty pissed off at me because I was saying the same thing. I said, like, you know, is this really as serious as everybody thinks it is? Blah, 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 blah. And so she called in and was not in a good mood. And she basically said, I cannot believe you're downplaying COVID and how serious it is, because I want you to know that my father just died of COVID. And if it's not so serious, then why? Why would you say the things that you do? About 10 minutes later, her brother called in and said, gee, I wonder if the 2/5 a day had anything to do with it.
Oh. That's a lot of booze. Well, that's the thing. Everyone I've heard of who's talked about, like, oh, I know so-and-so died of COVID.
Right.
It's almost always someone who was very ill to begin with.
Oh, yeah, always. Right.
Or it was, like, really early on that they didn't know how to treat it, you know?
Mm. Yep. Well, the problem in the very beginning was what they were doing was they were over-treating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You come into the hospital with COVID, they're going to slap you right on a ventilator, and those things are very bad for you.
They are.
Yeah, like, really the only, like, healthy people that died of it are the people that it was treated
way too aggressively, yeah.
Well, the Babylon Bee has the tweet of the day. Man wears mask into Walmart, not because of COVID, but because it's Walmart.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I used to wear masks on planes just because it's like, it's a plane. Gloves. Planes are gross.
Who, whatever happened to the, what is it, the People of Walmart? Is that the name of the website?
Yeah, it got
the debunked.
Is it gone?
Yeah, I think so.
Why is it gone? It's funny.
I think it made fun of the badly dressed.
Oh, come on. You can't make fun of anybody anymore. What the hell?
I think it's kind of like...
People Walmart's still there.
Oh, it is? Yikes. I thought it got canceled.
Maybe it did for a while.
Yeah, like canceled where it's not cool to go there anymore.
You can't look at it.
Andy, turn it off.
What's on there? I can't see it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
People just wearing no pants to Walmart.
What?
Lots of asses hanging out for no good reason. It's so bad.
There was, I saw somebody sent me a video yesterday, and it was like this guy walks in his front door, and he's in like pajama pants and like this dirty shirt and slippers. And he walks in there, he's like, Walmart didn't have what I needed. And then he's going to his room, and his wife is like, where are you going? He's like, I have to get changed. I need to go to Target. Because he needs to be more presentable for Target than Walmart.
I love that.
I have to say, in the last couple of years, and I don't know if this is a COVID thing or if I just noticed, that every time I do go into a Target, I see youngish women under 25 maybe dressed in pajamas and slippers.
Yeah,
like they just got out of bed and went to Target.
Why? Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Why is it?
Well, have you seen those like comfy? It's called a comfy. It's like essentially like a blanket with a hood.
Giant.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
My girlfriend wears that.
I mean,
everywhere. I tell her
she Target.
It looks like a robe.
Everywhere.
It's a robe made out of blanket.
I tell her she looks like the pigeon lady from Home Alone, except it's like a classier version of it. Because that's exactly what it looks like.
Well, I mean, you're a Target. Who cares? I don't care what I look like.
Well, because you're going to run into an old... When you dress like that, you're going to run into an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend. That's just what happens. The worse you look, the more likely you are to run into somebody you know.
Yeah, what do you care?
Or the guy that's trying to hire you for a job. And there you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
I think you should just put some clothes on. But that's just me.
I think there's a happy medium between that and the fashion on Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
We just watched an episode of that.
Yeah.
The dad wearing a suit and tie while sitting at the dinner table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotta look nice.
Mom wearing a ball gown to do the dishes.
The mom was doing the dishes in a gown. The dad was in a suit and tie the entire day, even when he was eating dinner.
Yep.
I mean, we really have fallen far.
Mm-hmm. We have. Like, you can't even put pants on.
Airplane travel? People used to dress nicely.
Well, and airplane travel used to be nice, so it's like,
you know. Right. You used to smoke cigarettes on the plane.
Okay,
like,
how is that's your epitome of nice? People were smoking cigarettes?
Not cigarettes, it's like cigars.
It's like the long ones,
like Audrey Hepburn, Cruella de Vil.
There's no actual tobacco in them. It's just the look makes you look classier with the cigarette holder.
It's a candy cigarette.
Just smoking paper.
You know, apparently that was like the smoking or non-smoking section that matters.
Yeah,
right.
It matters.
Like, and restaurants were like that. God. It was like
restaurants. Yeah, even
that was a joke.
The smoking section was you. The non-smoking section was me.
It's literally just like a wooden divider. I can't see you, but I can see everything else.
The only place I think they still have those are casinos.
Yeah, casinos do have non-smoking sections.
And it's like the whole place just smells like
cigarettes. The casino is just filled with smoke. It just doesn't matter.
Well, and when people are on their slots, they're just chain smoking the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's like they're filling the entire building up with smoke.
Yeah.
I know. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. A lot of that, no question. Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM. Who is a comedian? Brilliant comedian. God, I can see his face and hear his voice, but I can't remember his name. He used to be on all the, you know, Tonight Show and all the rest of it. But he came on and he told the host that night, I want you to know, you just introduced me, but he's looking over at the, you know, at the dais while he's standing there in front of the camera. So he goes, I want you to know something. You introduced me by my old name. I have now changed my name because I thought it was a much cooler sounding name. I was walking through this one area in the airport, and I said, that's a great name. He changed his name to Nosmo King.
It took me a second.
Nosmo King. No smoking.
Oh, yeah, the smoking section in the airport.
Remember, they used to
exist.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Especially the one at Palm Beach International. There was a huge smoking room at Palm Beach International about 25 years ago.
Now it's like a welcome room.
It is. Yeah.
Wasn't there one at the small terminal in Minneapolis, too?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, there was.
There might still be.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Just call me Nosmo from now on, Catherine.
Well, you want them smoking somewhere other than in the airplane, dismantling the smoke detector in the can, which some people are doing. Yeah.
Here, you can sit in 12B because a guy in 13B is having a cigarette. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? So they're right behind me having a cigarette, and that's the smoking section. Okay. Yeah.
Was it Paul Shannon?
Paul Shannon, no. What, did he use that too?
Yes.
He used it too?
Apparently a few people did.
Use Nosmo King?
H. Vernon Watson, Stephen Jameson.
None of those.
Well, apparently it's not an original joke.
Well, he did this in like the mid-1960s.
Well, Paul Shannon, H. Vernon Watson did it from the 1930s.
Oh, well, there you go.
He was born in 1886.
And he used Nosmo King?
His stage name was Nosmo King, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, look at what we learn.
Recycled jokes.
Recycled jokes that I thought were funny, and I can't give them credit anymore.
No.
What are you going to do?
Oh, well, it's still
such
funny.
Such is life. Such is life, ladies and gentlemen. God, I've just looked at the headlines for today. It's all just sad. It's about people dying the whole day. Oh, except for Paris Hilton has a new boyfriend and says, our hearts are exploding with love.
Oh.
You buying that one?
Mm-hmm. I don't really care either way.
Tend to.
You don't care about Paris
Hilton. Who cares?
I couldn't agree.
Who is it? Who's the boyfriend? Is it anybody exciting?
I'll have to click. You know, he looks a lot like Vince Flynn. Don't you think, Catherine?
Yeah.
He looks a lot like Vince Flynn.
Reality star 41 welcomes baby boy via surrogate with husband Carter
Rem.
R-E-U-M?
Oh, so it's not a new boyfriend. It's her husband? And they have a baby?
Yeah, it's her first child, not a...
Okay, so this is a different story.
It's just a headline.
Yeah, she just...
Oh, it's just a headline. Our hearts are exploding with love. I thought it was for one another. It's about their baby, huh?
Yeah, yes. They had a baby.
What's the
that
baby's name?
That does happen when you have a baby.
But she didn't have the baby. Somebody else had the baby.
Surrogate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't?
Well, she can't be bothered with being pregnant.
He said via surrogate.
But
some
why?
Can't be, get pregnant.
That's true, I suppose.
What? So what's the kid's name? They don't say what the kid's name is. They're trying
is
to keep it
Nosmo
undercover.
King?
Nosmo King Hilton. That's the kid's name.
So what is probably... Who is he?
I have
He's
no
a reality
idea.
Star guy, apparently.
No, Paris Hilton's a reality star.
This is gone.
Oh, he is, yes. He's author, entrepreneur, and venture. So he's a rich guy.
So he's a rich guy, yes. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Got it.
A lot of money.
He found co-founded Vive Spirits.
What's that?
Apparently it's a brand of alcohol.
Oh, that's profitable.
Hmm.
Ask Dean Phillips.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dean Phillips did rather well. Aren't they worth like $6 billion now, the Phillips family?
Well, booze is yeah.
Oh, I would imagine, because like Phillips vodka and like that whole brand is like the rail at every bar. So cheap.
It is absolutely true. No question about it. But yeah, the headlines today are basically, well, so Paris Hilton and Carter, they had the one positive story. The two at the that surround it are brother of Julian Sands. I know he's dead. And on the other side, it says, worker sucked into jet engine, told not to go near it twice.
It's probably a good idea not to go near those things.
Yeah, why would you go near the front of jet engine?
That guy just won't listen.
Jesus.
Have we talked about how Carol Baskin's husband is alive and well in Costa Rica?
Is he actually alive?
What?
Yeah, I guess.
Who's Carol Baskin? I saw the headline, but I didn't know if it was just like fake.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I don't know. I just know that he's alive and in Costa Rica.
Or is he?
Because allegedly he was fed to a tiger.
Yeah, and he was dead and missing for years.
She probably paid somebody to pretend that he was her
body double.
So didn't they say his plane crashed into the ocean and they'd never find him or something? Wasn't that one of the stories?
He was supposed to go to Costa Rica, but then his plane never landed and they never found him. Yeah.
So he just wanted to get away from her?
Well, that would be my first guess.
There you go.
I'm going to see if there's a news story.
Well, according to Twitter, Carol Baskin's husband being alive should end the pandemic once and for all.
Now we can move on.
We've come full circle. Started with the Tiger King, ended with the Tiger King.
Carol Baskin's husband found alive in U.S. Congress. They're just making up stuff left and right.
So, AJ, what do you think? Tips from heaven with Kevin. I mean, Tevin.
Oh, my goodness. I'm leaving.
No, I want to do it that way. With Kevin. Oh, no, I mean Tevin. We'll pretend we don't know who you are.
Who's Kevin?
In each week, it's just a different iteration of like an Evan name.
Yeah, I like it. Evan.
My name's Revan Pittman.
Revan Pittman, ladies and gentlemen.
Devin.
Yep.
Devin.
Devin? Yeah, Devin.
No, Devin, that's a real name.
I've been playing this game my entire life.
Have you? Have like people called you those names your whole life? Really?
Oh, Evan, Kevin, Devin, Trevin, you name it.
Well, Tevin and Devin sound very similar. So
I'll
there
just
is
say
that.
Yep, every time. And then it's
one Kevin. Is it usually Kevin?
Sure. Yeah, it's usually Kevin. And then they go, Tevin. Yep. Like Tevin Campbell. Yep. And then they sing Can We Talk by the singer.
Great.
Tevin Campbell.
Great.
And then
we'll
do a sports segment and we'll call it Sports Heaven. No, we can't do that because you already used Heaven. How about All the Way with AJ? What do you think? It'll be a sports show.
Not a lot of times people will say all the way with me.
You've never heard that before in your life?
Yeah.
No, I say, hey, look, man, I got like, 15 hours a week to fill. I got to have everybody
on
the show.
Something with Alex. Good luck.
Alex. Yeah.
Let's just bring up Rhyme Zone here real quick.
It's not going to work.
There we go.
Don't go with phallics.
I was going to say, the one word that anyone ever thinks
See, that came to my mind, and I let it go.
And you let it go.
And you said it. That's the difference between you and me.
Calyx and salyx are both apparently words.
Talyx?
Calyx.
What do they mean?
Phallic.
Let's see. Calyx is, Merriam-Webster. What is it? The usually green outer whorl of a flower consisting of separate or fused sepals?
Oh, that's very useful.
Oh, yes. You're such a callous.
That's a word that's just going to come up in casual
it's
conversation.
A part of a flower.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
And then salix is apparently a pharmaceutical company.
Great. really crushing it.
Get your COVID update.
Oh, wait. A salix. Salix is the genus to which willows belong. So, hey.
Oh, there you go.
Plant-based Alex.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flowers and willows all at the same time.
Yep. Getting better by the minute, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
When's our guest on?
In 12 minutes.
11, Terry Delonis and Alex Alonzo are on with us in 12 minutes.
We can
minutes.
Rhyme Alex's Calix name. Calix and with Alex Alonzo.
We can call him Phallix. Phallix Alonzo.
Phallix isn't even a word.
I know phallus no. is, but yes. close enough.
Phallic is.
Phalanx?
Get a sense of humor. That's all I'm saying, Andy. That's all. Just get a sense of humor. What do you think?
So every time he says something that isn't funny.
Oh! Oh, okay. Okay, that's all the family. That's the family's got it going for me now. Welcome home, Tom. Great to be here. That's all I'm saying.
Welcome back.
All right, so what else is happening in the world? Anything good? Like I said, all we're doing now basically is, if you watch the news, they're lying. Although I've been watching Bluey with our one-year-old, Andy's son,
just
Ethan.
To watch, yeah, so we can watch Ethan dance.
He loves to dance to the theme song for Bluey, which is brilliant move, 7 minutes long.
Yeah, the episodes.
It's very smart. I mean, if you're going to have something for little kids, 7 minutes is perfect, don't you think?
Yeah. That's their attention span.
He loves it. He loves Bluey.
Didn't they just do a study that Americans' attention span is now down to 5 minutes or something?
Oh, I don't doubt that.
It was nine, and now it's decreased.
The longer you go with digital, it's going to get shorter and shorter, too. People cannot pay attention to anything anymore.
What?
What did you say? What were we talking about? No, matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, somebody was not paying attention at all to what they were doing, and I ended up with nowhere near what I needed. What was that again? I brought it up to you. It's like, this is absolutely the opposite of what I needed because they didn't pay attention.
I must not have been paying attention because
I guess you weren't paying attention when I told you about it, so, you know.
I don't know.
That's really great news. Really nice, but what the hell. So everything else is good. I'm just trying to think. We don't have any teams that are playing right now. Well, anyway, we don't have a football team. Our basketball team sucks. I wish the University of Minnesota would get a men's basketball team that was worth a damn again.
Oh, my gosh. They're absolutely horrendous.
They're terrible. And I'm telling you what, when I was a teenager and in my 20s, the Minnesota Gophers, Clem Haskin, as he used to call himself, couldn't even say his own last name, which I always loved. He always called himself Clem Haskin. It was couldn't say the S at the end of his own name, I guess. But those teams were damn good. They went to the Final Four one year. Remember that? And then they accused him of cheating or something. You probably don't even remember that. That was a long time ago.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Clem Haskins was a really good basketball coach at the University of Minnesota for many, many years. There's no question about it. But we
1986 to 1999. So
86 to 99. So
it was like somewhat in my time, but that's about it.
Yeah, somewhat.
I was 13 by the time he was gone. So
indeed, I think he moved to Kentucky or something, at the University of Kentucky, if I remember correctly. But do we have? I mean, we got a couple of young guys and a young woman in the studio. Do we have any teams that are any good at anything anymore?
I think the Wild are pretty decent.
They're okay.
I think the soccer team, they did pretty well.
No, what's
the
that?
Lynx. The Lynx are usually good.
Yeah, the Lynx are usually good. That's true. So what's soccer? What is that?
Minnesota United.
United there.
No, I mean, what's the sport?
They have like the round ball and they kick it to like a big net.
Oh, you mean football?
Yeah, football.
Football, isn't it?
Watch Ted Lasso. You'll learn all about it.
Ted Lasso's all. Yeah, that's right. He goes over to the coach soccer team, doesn't he?
Does.
Is that show any good?
It's fantastic.
I got to start watching it because I like him, but I watched the first two episodes, and the first two episodes were very silly. I'm not a big fan of
it's
silly.
It's very sweet, which is what I like about it.
I think it settles in, but then season two was more, I think, serious.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Season two was a lot more serious.
Like, there's still some jokes and some lighthearted stuff, but for the most part, it's a very deep dive for, like, what the show's first season was into, like, depression and anxiety overcoming your own fears and stuff.
Really?
And they're doing their third season is coming out soon, and it's the last one.
Oh, he's only doing one more?
I think so.
And what country did he move to coach the soccer team?
England.
What is England? Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I got to say. Well, I tell you, and we've talked about this before, but television streaming, basically, but it's television itself as well, I don't think it's ever been better. Honest to God, there are so many great things on TV right now, particularly streaming. It is you couldn't possibly watch it all, and it's, man, there's a lot of good stuff. You guys have any, like, one new thing that you watch?
I'm starting to watch, and maybe Andy, you probably have seen this, or maybe AJ, The Last of Us, based off the video game.
The video game, yeah.
I haven't started yet. I hear it's amazing.
Okay, because I'm halfway through the first episode, and it's like phenomenal to start with.
So they changed everything, though.
What do you mean they changed everything?
Well, in the video game, the way that the mushrooms spread, there were these spore clouds. So you go into a building, there's a spore cloud. You got to put on your mask or else you just die instantly. But in the show, spore clouds don't exist anymore.
Really?
So it's like, where's the danger in exploring, aside from the mushroom zombies? But other than that.
Right.
Although it sounds thrilling.
It is. Because the video game is probably like the greatest video game that's ever existed. And so I'm very excited to watch the show.
You know which one I want them to do a live adaptation of? A Bioshock one.
Oh, Bioshock would be really good.
Bioshock would be amazing.
Bioshock 1 specifically.
I only watch Great British Baking Show. That's good, too. I'm furious because in America, you can't watch seasons 1 through 4.
Why is that?
You can't even buy them on Apple.
Can you watch them on YouTube or something?
No.
Do you like the DVD They're set nowhere. On Amazon?
I was going to say, VHS.
If you use a VPN, you might be able to.
I don't know. That's what my niece said. She text messaged me and she's like, you can use a VPN. I was like, yes.
Yes, use a VPN.
What is that?
VPN is, so basically on the internet, you go on the internet, your computer talks to the server that you want to get stuff from. So your computer says, hey, Netflix, give me this show. That's how it normally works. Mm-hmm. With a VPN, your computer talks to another computer, which then asks Netflix for, give me this show. And then it'll go through that computer back to you. And the idea is when you do that, Netflix can't see your data. They can only see the data of the computer that you are asking to get you the stuff from Netflix.
I'm beginning to be sorry I asked.
But basically the idea is if this computer was, say, in the UK, then when it talks to Netflix, Netflix will show it the UK catalog.
Oh.
So then you can see the UK catalog.
Yeah, but you have to pay for it.
It's like, I don't know. Well,
how bad do you want to watch
bucks
the British
a month? Yeah, exactly.
Really
yeah.
badly. And I could watch all of the seasons probably in like
Yeah, exactly.
2 months.
I use a VPN pretty much all the time.
What? Is it a login? Can you give me your VPN information?
Probably, actually.
Can I steal your app? Is it an app?
It is, actually.
What do I do? Oh, can I use yours? Is that something that's possible?
Maybe. I'd have to look into it.
I'll send you flowers.
Okay, then.
Well, that'd be nice.
You know your brother so well.
And a teddy bear.
I do love flowers.
Doug, how are things going at Burnsville and Coon Rapids Nissan?
Well, we're in first and second place for the year in Minnesota.
That's pretty impressive. What do you think the secret is?
Well, clearly people like overpaid morning DJs that can't throw a first pitch over the plate.
That hurt my feelings on so many levels.
Sorry. Some people actually like these goofy ads, but there's a lot more to it.
I think people really like the one-price, upfront approach. They know they are being treated fairly.
Yep. The free 10-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty doesn't hurt either.
So what's going on this month?
Well, inventory's finally getting better. We've got 75 Rogues and 25 Pathfinders available for delivery this month, and Nissan just came out with 1.9% for 36 months for people with good credit.
The way interest rates are climbing these days, that's pretty darn good, Dougie. With all those Rogues and Pathfinders, free powertrain warranty, and low interest rate financing, no wonder Burnsville and Coon Rapids are setting records.
We're like the Aaron Judge and Roger Maris of Nissan's.
No, you're not. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us.
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. Whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant.
We have Alex on the phone. Alex Alonso.
Oh, Alex Alonso's ready to go.
Alex.
Terry is not with us yet, but it's also 4 minutes late or early.
It's 4 minutes early, so that's cool. Alex, how you doing?
Good. Good. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly, man. It sounds great. Alex Alonso, we have our daughter Alex Rasmussen on the show with us. So every time I go, "Hey, Alex," two people are going to respond. What do you think?
I'll just be quiet. Nope.
I'll just be quiet.
No problem.
Alex, is Terry going to join us as well, or has he got something else he has to do?
Yeah. No. I mean, my understanding, he was coming, so yeah.
The new docuseries Gold, Lies, and Videotape premiered on Discovery and Discovery Plus on January 13th, just a little over a week ago. A new episode's rolling out weekly that will send viewers down the rabbit hole. Terry Delonis has been unrelenting in his pursuit for answers of what happened to an alleged $28 billion treasure buried within a mountain in New Mexico that his grandparents found in 1937. Now, they did find the gold bars and all kinds of stuff, jewelry and coins and all that. They actually did find that, did they not, Alex?
Yeah, that's true. The original find was more artifacts, and the gold bar and the gold came later in the story.
Okay.
But he actually didn't know that it was gold. He thought it was just iron bricks stacked up.
Oh.
So 16,000 bricks of what eventually ended up being gold.
Whoa.
You know, Alex, I got to be honest with you. I'm very, very happy you're on today because at the very beginning of the show, about 40 minutes ago, I said, I just cannot talk about politics in America anymore, or the federal government in America anymore. I just can't stand it. They're driving me nuts. And it looks to me, Alex, that the federal government might be involved in your story as well. Is that true?
Yeah, it's going to be hard for you to get away from it.
That's true.
the government, when you speak of government like an organized effort to do something regards to our story, that's not exactly true. It's people with influence, people in positions of power that gained access and did some bad things. But I wouldn't call it a government effort.
Okay. Yeah, because the only thing it says that I saw, some believe the U.S. government stole 16,000 gold bars and priceless artifacts, while skeptics claim it never existed. So did they just, do you think maybe, Alex, they just came up with the story that the U.S. government stole it just to bring attention or pull attention away from them? Why is that belief that the U.S. government may have stolen 16,000 gold bars and priceless artifacts?
Well, part of our job out there when we were digging is kind of like forensic inspectors to figure out what it is that's happened. But it wasn't some sort of executive order to go do all this, in our opinion. Now, we don't have any solid proof of, we know there was a theft, but we're not clear on what happened. You know, we need to finish the job we started out there in the 90s.
You know, Alex, I try not to read too far into things before I do an interview, just for the very reason. How did they stumble upon it? Why was it there in the first place? Do we have all these answers? Why was it there anyway?
Well, if we start with, we could start with how Doc Noss and Ova Noss, his wife, his name was Milton Doc Noss, he was a foot doctor, and they met in Oklahoma, but he received the story long ago from some old Indian, because he himself was part Indian.
Okay.
And they told him that there's this place of great power in a sombrero-shaped mountain in this valley where there's a stream, the only stream for 40 miles. So he had all these clues, and they went deer hunting one day, and he found it. And so he thought it always came from the Apaches, which was the Apaches' playground. So this would be, mountains called Victorio Peak, after Chief Victorio, a great Apache. The mountain next to it is Geronimo Peak, which most of us have heard.
Yep.
This is where all the Apaches were hiding during the Indian Wars. This was their playground. Eventually, General Hatch and the cavalry, the Third Army, eventually made their way down there. And a massive battle took place at the base of the peak. And they fought to the death, the Apaches did, to protect that mountain. So the Apaches were clearly in charge of it, but was it the original origins of it? And the answer is no, based on Doc Knopf's assessments. One of the possible theories is that it came from Maximilian, the Emperor of Mexico, back in the late 1800s, when he heard of an assassination plot against him. They moved all the treasures and the gold, everything out of Mexico and went north towards El Paso, and it vanished. Doc did see artifacts inside of the mountain that were consistent with that. One in particular was an old top box that was stamped in like a metal with a hammer. It said Carlotta, which was Maximilian's wife's name.
Ooh.
So he started, he realized that this was a storehouse, not a single event, but generations of storing, because it was a massive underground structure where all this stuff was. And that's the reason that he continued digging first before he understood what the bars were, because there was so many different vast amount of artifacts deep in that mountain.
We have Terry with us now.
Oh, good. Terry, how you doing?
Hey, great. How are you guys?
Not too bad. I haven't found $28 billion worth of treasure, but I'm doing okay.
Well, we haven't salvaged it either. So.
Terry Delonis, ladies and gentlemen, joining us with Alex Alonzo. We're talking about Gold, Lies, and Videotape, premiered on Discovery and Discovery Plus on January 13th. Terry, we've been talking for about 5 minutes with Alex, and this story is fascinating, and to hear your take on it as well, not that it would be much different than Alex's, but personal views on things, I always find that fascinating. What is this all about? How did you guys get involved? I love the story.
Well, it certainly is a great American family adventure. I think it's one of the last great adventure stories of the Americas, and we really encourage everyone to tune in to Discovery Plus and Discovery Broadcast and share the adventure with us. In those six episodes, you're going to catch up with a lot of the history that led Alex and I to our excavation and documentation of events at the peak between 1989 and 1996. But you'll not only have a great look back into ancient history, you'll have a look at some of the technology that was implemented to get a remote view of the deeper caverns that my grandfather and his co-workers discovered and explored beneath Victoria Peak.
What a story it is. So how did Doc and Babe just happen to stumble? Because it says in the story, in 1937, Doc and Babe Knopf stumbled upon thousands of gold bars. Were they actually looking for it and just happened to stumble upon it? Why do they use stumbled upon?
In New Mexico and Arizona and parts of Texas, treasure hunting and exploring is sort of like bird watching or
hunting.
You know, everybody does a bit of it, and everybody is interested, especially in New Mexico. Every family has a lineage and a story and a lore, and everyone feels very connected to history. So Doc and Babe were not unusual in the fact that they were interested in discovering the past. Alex highlighted that Doc may have had some clues that there was something to be aware of and certain signs to take note of. And so every time he was out in the desert for any other reason, like deer hunting, he probably would have been looking for those signs. And on this particular deer hunting trip in 1937, he did discover that vertical access hole that led down to a labyrinth of chambers, tunnels, passageways, caverns, and side chambers. So it was a progressive exploration. After Doc's first couple of trips down to the bottom of the 200-foot passage, he took more equipment gradually loaded more equipment up and took it down with him. Lanterns, carbide lights, ropes, crowbars, all kinds of things, and started preparing himself to explore the deeper chambers. What a lot of people don't know, Tom, is that he actually photographed some of the piles of metal bars that he found in one of the rooms. Those photographs were taken to the state land office in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and put in the land office file. They were later disappeared. Someone came in and pilfered the file and took those photographs out.
So there was nobody in that territory at the time, I'm assuming, because how long would it have taken them to dig out this cavern? I mean, I'm assuming there was a bit of a cavern there to start with, but did you say a 200-foot hole to get down into it in the first place?
Yeah, it was a 20-story vertical access, which Doc and Babe and the early workers called the chimney site.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that led down to passageways that from the inside of the caverns, Doc could tell there had been ground level entrances into the larger caves. And we think we found, with the ground radar and some of the seismic work we did, we think we found the location roughly of what those ground level desert floor access points may have been. So the people that put the bullion inside the caverns didn't take it up and down the vertical shaft. They just had carts and wagons, and they just hauled it in right off the desert floor into the tunnels that led into the caves.
Now, how much is there any way to know how much stuff has been taken away? Somebody else maybe stumbled upon it and took some of it, or over the years people have stumbled upon it and taken things away. Is there any idea how much is still left in the caves? How much was taken away? Somebody came up with a $28 billion value, so they must know pretty close to what was in there, right?
Boy, that's a really good question. And we begin to answer that question a little bit in the later episodes of this first season of Gold, Lies, and Videotapes. But my personal opinion, based on what I was told by people in the military, about half of the material originally discovered by Doc and Babe remains in the mountain.
Really? So how did they come up with that $28 billion figure? Are there stories, are there written stories about taking the gold and the artifacts in? Did they leave behind a written document of some kind?
In the family lore and in conversations with my mother, my aunt, and my uncles, and my grandmother, they discussed the fact that Doc photographed this long wall of gold bullion and metal bars stacked up along the cave wall. And they took a couple of those photographs from different angles and counted the number of bars that were visible high and deep and wide, and then multiplied and did the math. And in that one room, that's how they came up with the 16,000 bars.
Jesus.
That wasn't Doc's number. That was a number that was extrapolated from the photograph by counting the number of bars that could be picked out from the photograph of the stack.
God, what a story this is. And you guys found out about this because of family lore, or how did you find out about it?
Yeah, When I was about 6 years of age, living in eastern New Mexico, my grandmother came to live with us.
Oh, okay.
So this would be in about 1955, and she had only recently been evicted from the claim at White Sands Missile Range. Her husband, my grandfather, Doc, had been murdered, So she could do no more work on the site to try to reopen the caverns. So she came to live with us. So from about 6 years of age till about 18 years of age, I listened to her tell very detailed stories about the adventure. Just, you know, as a child on her knee, and as I got older, just sitting in the room, listening to her interviews and recording her audio tape accounts of the adventure. So I got down, I got this story downloaded into my brain from a tender age.
And one thing I got to tell you, and I'm very serious about this, Discovery and Discovery Plus, I'm actually grateful for those channels. So many good stories are being told on Discovery and Discovery Plus. So you guys, did you consider yourselves lucky that Discovery and Discovery Plus wanted to do your story? Because they do a hell of a job.
Absolutely, because there's a global audience. We're talking about an audience of over 100 million people around the planet. So it really does my heart good to see Babe on the screen,
yeah,
and know that she is talking and telling her story to 100 million people around the planet.
Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, you mentioned that Doc was murdered. I should mention that three of my relatives over the last couple of generations have been murdered. So I understand how that feels. Although none of them ever had 28 billion. I do think one time that after my father died, he didn't live with us or anything after I was about, I don't know, 11 years old or whatever. But I found his treasure trove, and it's basically a box, a shoebox full of IOUs. So it's not quite the same thing, Terry.
No, but a similar family trauma. When you have a death like that in the family,
oh yeah, yep,
it does leave an emotional scar for generations.
They ever figured out why Doc was murdered?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. He was in the midst of a transaction to sell some of the bullion that he had removed from the peak to a businessman from Texas, and the deal went bad, and Doc was basically taken by gunpoint off the street in Hatch, New Mexico, into the guy's office living room, and they got into a fist fight, and Doc at gunpoint tried to break away and ran for his truck, and the murderer followed him out to the street and shot him in cold blood, murdered him in front of a dozen witnesses, and was eventually acquitted of the crime.
Why?
This tells you a lot about New Mexico at that period of time. This will be, part of this will be revealed in episode 4, I believe, of the show. But Doc was 3/4 Cheyenne Indian, and there was a lot of racism, and it was just easier to get away with a racist type murder in that period in history in the Southwest.
It's a fascinating story, and Alex, jump in at any time here, because you did a great job as well in the first couple of minutes, so we'd like to bounce back and forth. It's a fascinating story to me for the number one reason, like I said, my job, I've been in radio or whatever for 52 years, and the fascinating stuff to me, the number one story that I carry with me, is people cannot behave or act like human beings around money. And it just, in other words, you talked about Doc doing a deal with this guy and the deal went bad. Well, if there's that much gold and that much money involved, why would this other guy, how could you let it go bad? I mean, if you get 10% of it, that's a hell of a lot more money than you got now, right?
They want it all.
Well, I think what happened with that situation was that he, you know, he's trying to sell him the gold, but he had slipped under the window where these guys were to listen in on their intentions and heard they were going to cheat him out of the money. So he moved where the gold was to probably renegotiate again, and they didn't like that. And so that led to some a big fight and eventually a murder.
See that, but once again, a quarter of it's not enough, a half of it's not enough. No, we have to have it all, otherwise this is not going to work. I just don't understand.
Gold fever.
Yeah, gold fever. I mean, it's this money thing, and we're going through it today, whether it's government involved, business involved, whatever it is. People just cannot get enough money. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is, and it's not just money. It seems that gold itself has an even more dramatic effect over people than currency. People go a little bit crazy. One of the sayings that my grandmother is famous for was, "Where gold goes, blood flows."
Yeah, I like it.
and that seems to be the case. And that's been another exciting part of this journey for Alex and myself and the whole crew, Tom. And that's we have encountered the reality of human nature and the way human beings act in the face of great wealth or the possibility of great wealth. And we've seen some really noble responses to a challenge like this, but we've also seen some scoundrels show up and seen some really poor qualities of human nature come to the surface. So it's kind of a master class in psychology and ethics to go on an adventure and a journey like this.
Isn't it kind of sad that people look at money as the true value of their lives? It's not what's in their heart or their minds, it's what's in their pocket. That's always bothered me.
It's certainly true, and I think I don't know, Alex, you can weigh in on this and agree or disagree, but I think part of what has kept us in the chase for all of these decades is, in a way, we've become immune to the lure of the gold. What we're interested in is the history of the site, the origin of the material, and the archaeological significance of Victoria Peak as a very important Mesoamerican site. So we're focused on something very different than the gold itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that as a representative of the family, I'm not going to claim it when salvaged.
Yep.
But that's really not the intrinsic motivation. The intrinsic motivation for myself, at least, is the ancient history. I think Alex and I are in accord on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd be more than happy to sign off and say I don't want a nickel of it. But the sad part would be is when this ends and we find it, I got to go find something else to do. That's fine.
There you go.
The other option is I can take my share and I'll spread it evenly among our critics.
Ooh, I like it. That's a great move right there.
Let them have it.
Yep.
And I'll buy their apology. How's that?
Hey, I've got a question quick. Okay, who owns this land? And why wouldn't anything that you'd recover be, what's it called, repatriated to Mexico?
That's a really great question. I can give you a partial answer. Okay. This is actually state land. It belongs to the state of New Mexico.
Okay.
And the state of New Mexico entered into an agreement with my grandparents and gave them a lease and issued mining claims for the entire section of land surrounding Victoria Peak.
Okay.
The claim to the treasure itself is based on treasure trove law in the United States, which is based on Old English common law. And that very simply states that in the United States, since President Theodore Roosevelt passed the law, treasure belongs to the finder no matter where it is found.
Okay.
If he has truly discovered it and taken and begun to take possession of it, his or her claim is good against the world except for the true owner, and that would be the person who put it there, and that person at this point is lost to the ages.
Okay.
God, what a story this is. Yeah,
that's very interesting, this chain of command with finding treasure to me.
So
it's kind of an arbitrary law. It's kind of an arbitrary, I call it an accident of history, that we that we have the claim to the treasure.
Yeah, it's interesting.
God, I would. Catherine turned me on to a show called Trafficking. Is that all? Is that? Oh, that's on Nat Geo.
That's Nat Geo.
Another great channel. But there are all these stories about people making stuff up, and I mean, several different episodes. What are the first couple, Catherine, if you remember?
Counterfeiting, fentanyl creation.
What made me think of this whole deal is every one of their stories involves scammers who have nothing to do with anything, who do nothing but lie. Are there people around this kind of, you can't really call it a business because it's, you know, discovering gold bars and artifacts and all the rest of it, but are there people that, that pull scams, like saying, hey, you know what, I wanted to reach out to you because I was out in the desert and I was digging and I found all these artifacts and I realize there are many, many more beneath, but I need some money to go down and dig them out. Are there scammers stealing money from people on this kind of thing as well?
I'm confident that there are.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, smart money says yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm confident that there are. And as a family, we've sort of, to avoid that sort of accusation, we've sort of taken a vow of poverty that any money that is dedicated to this project goes only to the project. Nothing goes into our pockets, and nobody, we didn't even draw salaries. I didn't even draw a general partner salary in organizing the partnerships and the excavation. We're volunteers, so we want to make sure not to make any money. But yeah, we did encounter a couple of people who came to us and said, "Oh, we'd like to buy an interest in your project."
Yeah.
And then we found out they were going to divide it up and, I don't know, go off and sell it to other people. Mm. And we said, "You know, we have enough problems. We don't need your help. But thank you very much for your interest." Yeah.
So they were going to scam you out of your money.
100%.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing, because this is the complication. And not only are there some scoundrels who are attracted to any national story, it complicates our work in trying to vet the clues and the puzzle pieces and the whistleblower accounts that come across our desks. Through the decades, several people... ex-military people and people in different government agencies who have retired have come to us with sort of deathbed confessions and said, I had a role in removing some of that treasure, and here's what I did, and here's what happened to the material. And we have to be extra scrupulous and careful and vet their story and make sure they're not just making it up because they saw it on TV or read about it in the newspaper. So it kind of complicates our work that not everyone is honest, but it adds to the complexity of the mystery, and neither Alex nor any of our team are afraid of complexity.
That's a wonderful thing. Do you have any idea, the two of you? I mean, you talk about $28 billion treasure. There's a reference later on, but the U.S. government may have stolen 16,000 gold bars and priceless artifacts. And is there any idea how much? I mean, you know where it is, kind of, right? I mean, right? You must know where it is because the tunnels and the caves and all the rest of it, correct?
Yeah, Alex, did you explain about the cave-in and the ground radar and seismic work?
No, I didn't think the show was that long. But
Alex, are you getting bored with me? Is that what you just said?
No, I'm afraid you're going to have to expand your program format. But the way to handle that is actually to watch the show where they spend, what, 5.5 hours? Extrapolating all these details, but we know where it is, where it was, where it still may be, and that was the whole thing, is to get back to where we were based on the maps and the secret stuff that was still kept in the family file. So we have a, well, let's just put it this way. We're not treasure hunters. We're treasure salvers. We're there to salvage it.
Right.
And have zero interest in hunting for anything else.
It's pretty amazing. You guys, do you work directly with Mark Wahlberg on this, or is he just one of the big name in front of the project?
We did not work directly with him at this point, but we work with his partners and everything. He's a pretty busy guy.
He does great work, though, I think. Isn't he doing Shooter, Catherine? That was Mark Wahlberg that did that series, Shooter.
Yep.
He does some great, great work. I really admire him. So what I'm basically saying to you guys, it was a really brilliant idea for Mark Wahlberg to work with you guys. I just gave you a huge compliment, Alex. What do you think?
Well, that was stellar. Any compliment's great. It's like fuel in our tank. So
yeah, there you go.
We're absolutely thrilled that he and his company, prestigious company that decided to take on a story.
Yes.
Frankly, it wasn't that hard of a sell because the story sells itself. Usually the impressions we get when Terry and I would go and shop this is like, their attitude is, oh my God, how has this not been told already in the world? So here it is, the first telling of it, episode 3 coming up this Friday. And the other ones are on Discovery Plus and streaming and so on. But you can start seeing, and I'm telling you, it's only the beginning. When you get to episode 6, if we can continue, the viewers like it, and we have a good response, we're going to keep going season 2, 3, and beyond.
Well, I guarantee you got some watchers in the studio here. Andy, that sounds like your kind of deal.
My kind of deal? $28 billion in gold? Sure.
No, I mean watching a show about $28 billion. Oh. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, this stuff fascinates me. It just fascinates me that there, who knows what kind of treasure is hidden everywhere around this world. There's got to be a lot of it that went missing and it's never going to be found. So to hear a story about maybe $28 billion of treasure buried within a mountain in New Mexico, it fascinates me. So I certainly, you've gained at least a couple. Because my wife, Catherine, is sitting here. I think that sounds like something you'd love to watch.
Absolutely. I love all this stuff.
So you've already picked both of us up and a hell of a lot more people. But could you guys... get it on your calendar, maybe pop back again in a few weeks to talk a little more, maybe when after episode 4 or 5 comes out, before episode 6. We'd love to have you on again. That'd be great.
Hey, we would love that. We can give you a little idea what kind of response we got. And there's also a tip line on the project website. So by the time the series, all 6 episodes have run, we expect there'll be more information coming into the tip line about some of the events that we may still be unaware of.
I cannot wait to hear more about it. Terry DeLonis and Alex Alonzo, the show is on Fridays on the Discovery Channel, Discovery Plus, of course. I cannot wait to watch it. I'm really, really glad you guys booked the show and popped on today, because this stuff, the good part of it, the fact that you guys are trying to recover something that's been missing for nearly 100 years now, I am fascinated by that kind of stuff. I always kind of wonder, if you dug deep enough, how many people could find something buried under their own house if you dug deep enough, you know what I mean?
I think that's the excitement in human nature. Think about it. When you're a kid and there's a hill over there and the first thing you do, let's run and see what's on the other side. Well, there's nothing on the other side, but that thrill of adventure to seek and go beyond that, I don't think ever ends in any of us. And it's not, again, the pot of gold. It's the chase. I mean, you want to turn the next corner and see what there is. And that's the big part of that is what drives us.
Magnificent. Terry, Alex, stay in touch. We'll talk again in a few weeks if it's okay with you.
Hey, thanks for your interest.
Oh, God, I find this fascinating. I really do. So thanks for your hard work, and we'll talk to you soon, fellas. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye. And we are back with Stretch's Picks. Who's winning this thing? The Kitties, the Pack, the Bears, or the Purple?
None of the above.
Those are all the teams in the division.
I know that.
Well, who's your pick?
I'm going with Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
What? It's not a football team.
Sabre is one of the largest Bryant dealers in the state, which means you save. Yep, I'm going with Sabre. Sabre and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable. Oh, one more thing, Tom.
What's that?
Visit SabreHeating.com.
Tom here for Shift Real Estate. Last year, about this time when we were making plans for Key West, I met the folks from Shift Real Estate. And when I heard the Shift story, it made sense to me. It made sense to my kids, and it makes sense to pretty much everybody that's heard about them. Shift Real Estate saves home sellers thousands of dollars on real estate fees. How do they do it? Shift lists for a flat fee of $5,000. You work with a full-time salaried agent. They take professional photos and videos of your home, list it on the MLS, and market your home online, all for a $5,000 flat fee. Call Shift Real Estate and tell them about your home. Tell them that you heard me talking about it, and they will tell you how you can save $10,000 or more when you list with Shift. It's the common sense way to sell your home. Visit shift2sell.com. That's shift, the number 2, sell.com. Because life is expensive enough.
Terry Delonis. Terry and Alex calling in. So what do you guys think of this whole deal? I hate to focus on the fact that they must be surrounded by people trying to scam them out of ideas.
Oh, I'm sure.
Can you even imagine that, going through that?
Well, I mean, even a couple of gold bars and you'll be set for years, so.
Do you think?
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of it?
I think
it's like
good.
Living every kid's childhood dream of being like a treasure hunter.
That's true.
Yeah.
Going out.
I kept wanting to ask them if they ever played the Uncharted games.
Oh, God. Now, way to go. Which one of you two got him focused on video games? Going to be the rest of the day. Way to go, you pills.
Well, that's basically the entire plot is like he's got a map to some treasure and he goes and gets it. People shoot at him, you know.
Like, I want to know, do they put a big X on their map as they're going around?
Yeah. No, I think what they do is they put the map on the table, and then they jam a knife into where they think that the treasure is. Yeah. It's much more cinematic.
Boom. It is cinematic, no question about it. Alex, what did you think?
I mean, it was confusing that you kept saying Alex.
Well, I suppose I kept calling him Alex because that's his name.
Of the whole thing.
I feel like their life when they find this treasure is going to then be portrayed by like Nicolas Cage in a
film.
That's the only thing I could think of was the National Treasure.
National Treasure, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I like him anyway. Nicolas Cage is terrific. But yeah, I mean, $28 billion worth, you would think that it'd be pretty easy to find, wouldn't you?
Gold is, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of gold to be worth that much money.
Well, I think the gold bars have been removed. I think they're looking for other stuff.
They said the 16,000 gold bars are missing.
Yeah, they haven't found them.
Jesus.
I'm guessing that they've been pilfered off.
I don't have any. I don't have one gold bar in my possession. That pisses me off. Why don't I have a gold bar?
I don't know.
Talk to Hubbard.
Isn't
your severance package from KQ?
Yeah, I got that in my pocket right now, and my pockets are empty. So let me put it that way. There you go. Yeah, I only gave him 37 years of my life. Why would they want to give me anything, right?
How much is that? Did you figure out the gold?
It'd be 450 tons of gold.
450 tons.
For $28 billion?
Yes.
How does and that's today's money? Missing?
I don't understand.
I know.
That's today's money, apparently, yes.
Well, one bar at a time, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so amazing that they kind of know where it is, but they can't find it. That's pretty odd, don't you think?
The mountains are big.
So they really don't know where it is.
So they really don't know where it is. They think they know where it is.
Don't we have some sort of, like, machine, something, some sort of technology that can... Like find this stuff.
Yeah, you would think now with all like the sonar, radar.
Yeah, they said they were doing radar and
some
stuff.
Some gold
like that.
Drone.
A gold drone.
Yeah. Something.
I like
something
that.
To make
well, unfortunately, ground penetrating radar can only penetrate so far. Oh. And, you know, I don't know how big this mountain is supposed to be, but mountains can be pretty big.
Oh, no.
What?
I guess if you eat an egg now, you're just going to get a blood clot.
Oh,
what?
Gee, how convenient.
Wait a minute, what?
Scientists warn eggs are causing thousands of people to suddenly form blood clots.
There you go.
Strokes and heart attacks.
I bet.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Fawn eats an egg every
morning. They come up with this crap.
It's unfortunate.
Is it because there's an egg shortage? So they're like, see? Good thing.
Maybe.
Good thing there's a shortage.
Probably.
If you had an egg, you would die.
Okay, I want to see if you guys... have any idea if you would qualify for this? Because I haven't looked deeply into it yet. So I want you to...
I don't think I've ever qualified for anything.
Never in your life?
So I'll say no.
I just saw the headline just popped up. Governor Tim Walz proposes checks for 2.5 million Minnesota households. The DFL governor rolled out a $65 billion budget on Tuesday. How could our budget be $65 billion?
That's a great question.
I have no idea.
$65 billion for one state? Jesus.
It costs a lot to educate those kids. It's half our budget.
Is education. It's a very big union. There's no doubt about that. Tuesday, including checks and some Social Security tax breaks. So should I scroll down and find out if you guys are going to get any money?
I think it's like if you're an individual that makes under $75,000, and like if it's a household, if it's under $150,000, then you get a check or something like that.
So
like
a check or okay.
So basically, like in your life, that'd be every week. You make like $75 million a week, don't you?
Walzer doesn't pay that well.
Walzer doesn't pay you $75,000 a week.
Sell faster, Tevin.
That's a lot of cars.
Yeah, way to go. Walz on Tuesday proposed his full vision of estate spending and taxes for the next 2 years, drawing an estimated record-breaking surplus of $17.5 billion to boost cash for schools, housing, and paid worker leave, and to give tax breaks. His plan amounts to a 26% increase from the current two-year budget, with more than half of the increase in one-time spending. So does anybody else know anything about this story? Because I don't want to read on and on, because they're going to go on and on and try to distract me. That's what they're going
to
do.
I've not. All I've heard is like he got proposals, as well as he proposed to legalize marijuana and undo all of like the cannabis convictions as well.
But undo
I don't know
them.
Any of this? No, like, no. Yeah, like so. If you're in jail, let's free all our scrub
Why?
Records. And
when you did it, it was against the law. You can't just because it's now.
Yeah,
against,
I don't know if that's how law works.
That's not law. How law is supposed to work? I can guarantee you. It was against the law when you did it because just because it's legal now, you don't get off, do you?
I think so. If you were in jail and now it all of a sudden becomes legal, I think you can get out with, not necessarily scrub it from your past, but say like, hey, you can at least get out now.
You committed a crime and you knew you were committing a crime.
It's like if you were in jail for being a witch in like the 1800s.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Right, you're still in jail.
Well, if you're still in jail from the 1800s, then you probably are a witch. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but it's not illegal anymore, so you can be as witchy as you like.
As witchy.
Let the witches free.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an awful lot of money. That number scared me, by the way. When I heard we had a record $17.5 billion surplus, I went, oh, my God, how are they going to piss this away? Because you know they're going
to
piss it
away. Well, here's an idea. How about give it back to the taxpayers that got you that surplus?
Yeah, when you've got a surplus, that means you're overtaxing.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Be better at budgeting overall so you can not tax as much.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
I still love the fact that, first of all, it was what the hell was his name again? I can never remember the guy's name from Hannibal, Missouri. He was the president of the United States. What the hell was his name again?
You know that he's from Hannibal, Missouri.
I know he's from Hannibal, but I can't remember his name. He's in the 1950s, I believe he was a president, but he's the one who took
Taft. 33.
Who is it? Did you say
Taft? I'm guessing Taft.
You're hilarious.
I think that was a president.
Oh, Andy, who the hell was it? Andy's trying to find out for me. But he took Social Security and put it in the general fund, which he was never supposed to do. The reason being, he wanted to balance his budget. So he wanted it to look good, right? So he took that money, put it in the general fund, and it stayed there. And that's why, to this day, that you and I pay taxes on our Social Security. Because he wanted it to look good, you and I have to pay for it every time we cash a paycheck.
There is no president from Hannibal, Missouri.
Well, who's from Missouri then?
Just Missouri in
Harry
general?
Harry Truman is the only president born in Missouri.
There you go. Oh, Harry Truman. Go. That's exactly who it was. Okay. Harry Truman.
Where in Missouri specifically?
That's a great question.
So we can
a suburb
this.
Of Hannibal. That's right.
He was born in Lamar, Missouri.
Lamar, Missouri. And where's Lamar?
Right next to Hannibal.
Near Hannibal.
Right next to
Hannibal.
Is it the Golden Valley of...
He summered in Hannibal, Missouri.
Yeah, exactly. He summered in Hannibal.
At a cabin.
I just love the fact that you look back throughout history, and it's not – look, if you think this filth in politics just started, you can go all the way back if you want to. The scams that people have pulled just to make themselves look good or for them to make more money, they never started and they'll never end. It's just always been here. Isn't that amazing?
It is
amazing.
And
it probably never really will get too much better because then that requires – politicians to hold themselves accountable and then be put at risk of themselves being held accountable in the future when they decide to continue this behavior.
It'd be kind of nice if somebody was, you know, had to stand there and say, yeah, I did it. You're absolutely right. Right?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever voted on the, you remember when they named all the plow trucks in, was it the state of Minnesota or is it Minneapolis?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, they named them all?
Yep.
They named them. You want to know the latest name?
Oh, they're great.
You ready?
Yep.
Sleetwood Mac.
That's good. That's quality.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good one.
That's the content I came here for today.
Yeah. Aren't the ones that usually win like Plowy McPlowface?
Or yeah.
Yeah. Plowy McPlowface, yes.
Plowy McPlowface. That's exactly right.
So I just did some quick calculations here.
Okay.
$17 billion surplus.
$17.5 billion.
Well, whatever. Divided by 5.7 million, which is the population of Minnesota, times 0.75, which is assumed to be the population over the age of 18. Right. We're just going to assume everyone over 18 is a taxpayer, even though they're not.
Right.
That would be $4,000 extra per person they overtaxed.
$4,000
a person. Take that back.
Yeah, exactly. Give me my $4,000 back. I'll be perfectly happy.
I'd love it.
You're not getting it.
No, of course not.
No.
So $4,000 a person they overtaxed.
And that's if every single person over the age of 18 is a taxpayer, which
I don't think
it's even close to that.
No, it's not.
No.
Isn't that amazing? All of this money, and again, we just say it again, it's money, 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 money. That's all that matters in the world anymore, I suppose. Unfortunately.
Yes, there's been songs written about that.
Money makes the world.
For the love of money is the root of all evil. The OJs, let's not forget it.
Yep.
OJs and also the Bible.
The Bible. Yeah, might have done it before the OJs, I'm pretty sure.
It must be time to go because Jude's acting like a squirrel.
He's got another three minutes.
Jude, off by 4 minutes today.
He's off by 4 minutes.
Dude, what's going on?
Over there making his weird little dinosaur noises.
Yes, he is.
You know what's hilarious about this? I do find this hilarious. So vote now, Sleetwood Mac and Skull Plow among finalists in MnDOT Snowplow name contest. I scroll down, not one comment. Why wouldn't you come in? It's fun. Yeah, that's a good name, Sleetwood Mac.
Lighthearted misery.
So it's just too lighthearted. They want to be pissed off because everybody wants to be pissed off
Maybe
right now.
Maybe people don't like any of the names.
Sleetwood Mac. How could you not like Sleetwood Mac?
I think you just go and vote and you don't really comment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Comment
people
on all.
People comment on anything. So to find a post that has no comments. Yeah.
That's true.
On those online polls that are out there, it's like, you know, they give you like four choices. One is you're wonderful, two you're terrible, and the third one you're a murderer. I always pick the worst one just to skew the results.
May as well.
Hopefully nobody will read these.
There you have it. Well, that's going to do it for yet another day, ladies and gentlemen. I thought our guest was terrific today. Those two guys, I thought, did a really good job. That stuff fascinates me anyway, that there's all this gold and these artifacts and stuff underground, and we'll never find about 99% of it, right? Wouldn't you? I mean, we're never going to find most of that stuff, do you think?
Start digging.
Get a shovel.
Start digging right now.
At random.
I agree.
You might find something.
All right. Like I said, we got Tevin, AJ. We got to come up with good radio names for when because we got to create a slot for both of you to appear at least once a week on the new morning show I'm going to be doing starting on the 20th of February. So figure it out. What you want to talk about.
I'll come back next week with a cool name.
Okay, AJ, what do you want to do?
Time slot.
Yeah, we'll brainstorm a little bit.
Okay, brainstorm amongst the two of you. You'll be good to go. And Tevin, we'll see you soon. AJ, we'll talk to you and Alex tomorrow. Alex won't be on tomorrow. It's Thursday.
Is Doug going to be on?
It's Thursday.
Is Doug on tomorrow? I don't even know.
Tom from Greenville on the chat says he's in Dallas right now, so I wonder if he's going to be coming back.
Well, then we might need Tevin and to come back again to do Car Selling Secrets.
Yeah, we'll talk to him.
They'll fire me. Although
they're not going
to
fire
me.
I was
a celebrity when I came back to, like, they're like, you were on the Tom Bernard podcast? Like, what did you guys talk about? Did you guys talk about cars? And I was like, yeah.
No, we really did not.
But yes.
That's very funny, actually. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow with the family.